Good morning, podcast listeners. This is Tuesday Study of Rachel. And we are going to just jump right in this morning. So Tuesday, her life and times is called menstrual cycles. How interesting, huh? Rachel said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord, that I can't stand up in your presence. I'm having my period." So Laban searched but could not find the household gods. This is found in Genesis 31, verses 35. Rachel's words here are the only mention in scripture of a typical monthly menstrual cycle, other than the ceremonial law covering menstruation found in Leviticus and referred to again in Ezekiel. Rachel knew, without a doubt, that her Polly would successfully defer her father. By claiming to have her period, she not only kept the false gods she had stolen, she kept her very life, since Jacob had promised to kill whoever had stolen the idols from Laban. During the time a Hebrew woman had her period, she was considered unclean. Not really surprising considering the untidy nature of a monthly flow, especially in those days, long before the invention of a feminine sanitary products. But the laws were more stringent than just to go cover the very personal nature of a monthly period. Those who touched a woman at this time, even by chance, became unclean until evening. Whenever the woman slept or sat, also became unclean. Everyone who touched her, her bedding, or her seat was considered unclean until they washed their clothes, bathed, and waited until evening. A woman was considered unclean for 7 days, the normal length of a woman's period, monthly period. She then customarily bathed in order to cleanse herself. This is probably the bath that Bathsheba was taken when spotted by King David. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. Since she had just had her period, David could be sure Bathsheba's child was his when she told him she was pregnant. Her husband was a soldier off to war. The natural flow of a woman's period didn't require sacrifices for her to be cleansed. Merely bathing and waiting for a prescribed time was enough. A longer, less natural flow, usually caused by some infection or disease, required a sacrifice in order for the woman to be clean. Neither implied any moral failing on the part of the woman. But since blood was seen as a source of life, anything surrounding it became an important part of ceremonial law. Many women considered their monthly period, the discomfort and irritability that often came along with it, a monthly trial, something women must bear, and men, luckily creatures, are spared. However, it is only through this particular function of her body that a woman can reproduce and carry a child. Although at times messy, at times a nuisance, at times downright painful, only though through this process does a woman have the opportunity afforded to no man, the opportunity to bear new life, and in doing so, to be uniquely linked to the Creator of all life. Amen. That is something that's just so unique. I mean, I'm sure that we could really go into a further study in regards to that. But let's talk a little bit about that. So We can definitely relate to menstrual cycles. Each and every one of us go through a cycle in our lives every month, and it's for a process. It's for releasing our body. God created our body to have a natural ability to release old, you know, what was used for the month, hormones and so forth, to be then released, and for those eggs to shed, to burst and to shed, and to, you know, begin again for the new download. Because we as women are born with billions of eggs. Billions of eggs. And as life, that's why by the time we get to that cycle in life where women no longer have eggs to shed and there's less flow of the period, and they turn into that place where then they have no more children. Where they have no more period. I can't say that they don't have no more children, because clearly if God wants you to have a child, you gonna have a child, where you have a period or not, because God has proven himself with Sarah that life, because he is the creator of life, he can create life within a womb, period or no period. So, so let's talk about this a little bit. I want to talk about the menstrual cycle. So we have these cycles. Everybody has a cycle. Everybody goes through certain cycles. And there are things in our lives that happen, whether it's because we become pregnant and we don't have a cycle, or we have had some complications in our lives, and so procedures have been performed where women end up with a hysterectomy and no longer have the ovaries that contain the eggs, so there's no more shedding of that, or they don't have the womb, so a hysterectomy is then taken. So you either have a partial one where you still get to have a period because one of your ovaries are there, or you don't have nothing at all, and you have no period at all then. And then you also have, you know, the way that God created at the end of the cycle of menstrual cycles. So at the end of menstrual cycles, you have the fluctuation, and you have where you then officially have no more period, because your eggs have been all used. They're all gone, all billions of your eggs. Now, why did God do this? What is the purpose, and why are we talking about menstrual cycles? Aren't we supposed to be learning something about ourselves from these women of the Bible? Absolutely. And so here's the attachment, the application I want you to think about. So we all go through cycles in our lives, whether if it's a menstrual cycle, whether we go through a female cycle. We go through cycles in our lives. We go through psychological cycles in our lives. We go through educational cycles in our lives, career cycles in our life, love cycles in our lives. We do all these different cycles in our lives. Now, the cycles either progress into something greater or they stay into the same thing. You know, so it's something that has a common ground and continues. And it's the same thing that is repetitive. That's the cycle. It's the same. It's the same. There's a common ground. So, you know, you might be somebody that's very hormonal. And so you're very sensitive. And so, you know, you find yourself that you're always crying. You know, you're always in that cycle. So when you were younger, when you would get your menstrual, you would be very emotional, even extra, because you were already sensitive. And then, you know, it just increased to the more and the more and the more and the more. Okay. And so in doing so, you know, the common denominator is that you're always crying, and sometimes it increases depending on your hormone stage within your life. And so there's always something that's there. Now, how do we relate this to our lives? Well, here's the thing. So God is our common denominator. He is the one who has created us. And we continue to see him throughout our lives, in the cycle of our lives, in the cycle of life, from a child, from the time we're from womb age to a young child, to, you know, young adolescent, to a young adult, to senior citizen. You know, you go through a cycle of life, right? We're living life, but there's something different and it progresses on. And God is our common denominator with all of that. He is in our lives through everything and every way. He is with us, right? And we either have those moments where we do things that, you know, we kind of just sit back and we don't allow, we become deceitful in our own lives and we steal our own blessings. And so we find ourselves repeating the same thing in our lives, right? You might be sitting down, you know, and you might be telling your Heavenly Father, look, I can't do this right now. And God knows you can. But you just want to be whining. You want to be stuck in you. You want to be stuck in your bag. You want to be stuck in your emotional, you know, feelings. And when I say stuck in your bag, that's the new terminology of, you know, being stuck in your head and your feelings, you know, in yourself, you know. You know, you want to be in a place where you're like, this is where I'm going to be at. And you miss out on greater blessings. But what happens is that you just end up repeating the same thing. You just keep going through the same cycle until you get it. And when you get it, then you are able to move on to the next cycle in life. And so many times we find ourselves where we feel like we're not going anywhere. We feel stuck. We feel like we're not progressing. We feel like we just, you know, have no worth. We feel like I keep doing the same thing. I keep making the same mistake. I keep doing the same thing over and over again. And every time that you feel this way, you know, and you're going through these circumstances, this is where you just need to lift your eyes unto the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Stop this cycle that I'm currently going through. Stop it and allow for me to be healed and for you to help me to get to the next place of where you want me to go to. Amen. Now, here's another perspective. So when we look at the cycling of a menstrual, it is a shedding of the eggs. So the blood is being shed, and so you go through this process of bleeding. How does that become an application to our lives? Well, you know, this happens once a month. And during this time, you know, this may be a good time for you to, in the natural, tap in with the supernatural and say to the Lord, Lord, let this be a symbolization that as to what is happening in my body right now, let me not be angered or upset or frustrated that I have my period, but let me be in a place where I can say that let this blood shedding be a symbolization of everything that is not of you, that does not belong in my life, in my body, be out of my body now in the name of Jesus. Release it all. Don't harbor it. Release it all. Let it be the very symbolization of what is meant to shed oldness, old blood, old cells, and it releases from your body and let it be gone. And so spend that time period that you are praying, that you are menstruating. Do it in prayer. You know, spend that time, like when you have to, you know, we're all ladies here. So when you have to go and care for yourself, you know, and make a change, take a moment and say, thank you, Lord, that you are removing the more of that does not belong. Thank you for this healing process in my body. You know, for blood to be shed in your body and for you to have a natural flow in your body is just a reminder of the healing power, the blood that was shed from Jesus Christ. So the blood that is being shed from your body is just a healing process. It's a natural process. Your body is going through a process of preparing itself for the next cycle. And so in which, that's why women become very fertile, because those fresh eggs come down. And so they're very fertile right after their period, you know, time. And so, they're fertile because it's the freshness, is that time of life, a gift that, as we read, men cannot endure. Men do not have this gift of life, this gift of being able to bear a child. So the shedding of the blood is actually a reminder of what God, chose for how he created us and how he uniquely created us to carry life, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And the blood that was shed is blood, that there is power in the blood of Jesus, and there's healing in that. So claim your healing in every process that you get your period. Now, I know that, for some women, it may be easy breezy. It may just be flowing through, and that might be good. And you may be saying, oh, that's really nice. I'll think of that. And some of you may be saying, oh, no. See, my periods are way painful. I can't deal with it. The pain is just so great. And you're going through it. And there may be some other underlining circumstances, because God created a woman to have her menstrual cycle, but not to be in a continuous battle with the menstrual, cycle, but to be in so much pain and so much discomfort. Yes, your body contracts, your womb is contracting to release these eggs and the blood to be shed, and the more and the more and the more, okay? Yes, it's a process. And so you do feel the cramping. And it is, there is that process in which you go through, all right? That's on the normal level, but on a more extensive level, if you're in so much pain, then you need to look at, one, you should be seeing a doctor. Two, you need to look at, what's causing this pain, and make sure that you are addressing it. And sometimes in life, we go through cycles in our lives, and in the cycles that we go in our lives are painful. But that pain, it just like in our natural body, pain is an alert to tell ourselves that there is something wrong with our body. There is something happening. That's why we're having pain. Okay? There's something that's going on, and so we need to address it. So increase of pain is telling you that there's something that's not right with your body. You need to adjust that. And you need to purge yourself, from that. So you need to go to the doctor and have them take care of whatever that circumstance may be. So here's the thing. So here you may find yourself in the same situation where, in your relationship with God, you may find yourself in a place where you're saying, this is utterly painful right now, because you know what you're carrying and what you're burdening, and you're going through all of this. And, Jesus wants to be the one that says, daughter, let me take this from you. Let me take this from you. And let me be the one to bring you comfort. And that through my blood, you shall be healed, that you will not endure such pain. And I'm talking about the pain that you feel, not a natural pain, but in that emotional status, your mental status, where what you're feeling in your spirit. You feel like you're going through so much and you just can't no more. And you get through these, excuse me, you go through these things that you just, it's just utterly just painful for you. So it's a cycle that you go through. It's something that's processing within you. And God only wants us to pause and to say, here, take, just here I am and I give it to you, you know. And then he wants us to just trust him that he will bring us through it all, whatever the situation is. But he wants us to surrender it completely to him. Amen? Now, you know, and then in the end part, as we move up out of the constant cycle and the pain and, you know, the different things that go on in our lives, we now come to that ending cycle of our lives where we have that process where we no longer have a period and, you know, we've entered into the menopause. So it's a pause. It's a time that we get to pause on the shedding of this blood. Our body is done. And mentally, we get to pause from the anguish, from the dealings of the very nuisance menstrual cycles, which only allows for us to then focus and pause on the goodness of the Lord, on how he gave us life. And when we think about all of the things that he has done for us, and we reflect on how blessed we truly are, my, you could only but just jump up for joy and rejoice in the Lord for what he has given unto you. Rejoice for all the good things. And that's the key. God wants us to keep our eyes on him and rejoice. Rejoice of, you know, what he has done in our lives. He wants us to rejoice in him, rejoice in his love, rejoice in the goodness of him, no matter what we're going through in our lives, no matter what stage that it is. So from little girls to elderly women, God wants us to focus on him no matter what stage, no matter what cycle we are in our lives, no matter what the pain is, no pain, some pain, excruciating pain. He wants us to focus on him. He wants us to know that we were uniquely designed and created by him so that we could bear life. See, he is the creator of life, but we can bear life. Isn't that cool? That is just so awesome of the God that we serve, the mighty, mighty God that we serve. So men's are carriers of life because they hold the seed that then is imparted into the woman and into her egg for the life bearing. And it's just a beautiful process of life on how God creates all of that to be. It's just amazing. But when we look at all of God's creation, we look at how much he loves us and how he created us, and everything reflects back on the relationship we are to have with Jesus Christ. He only wants us to have a relationship with him. And in that, we can learn so much. And by the time that we become elderly women, we are full of wisdom and knowledge and have gone through so many things in our circles of life that we can then pour out to the younger. That's why the Word of God says that if you're seeking wisdom, you need prayer, go to the elders, because they know. The elders in Christ. The elders in Christ that have gone through, you know, that are seasoned in life, because there are people who may be older, but they haven't had a really long-term relationship with Christ. They haven't had an intimate relationship with the Lord. So therefore, they're not well seasoned. They don't have the knowledge that God is saying, you know, to go and seek from the elderly. They may have some wisdom. They definitely have wisdom of
things that have happened, life in itself, you know. But when we need the more, the Lord always tells us to go to the elder. And those are those that have walked with him. Amen. Well, this concludes our portion of our menstrual cycles, a time in Rachel's life, a moment in Rachel's life where she used her menstrual cycle to deceive her father that she was not the thief of the idols that was stolen, that she had stolen for her own deceitful purposes. And she didn't want to end up being the one that was going to be killed, because then Jacob would have ended killing her, because that's what was said to be done. So she sat on it. She used her cycle. Now, this is something that I thought of too, that I thought, okay, she must have really had to have had her menstrual cycle in order to use that for it to hold weight. In other words, she can't just say, oh, you know what? I'm going to say I have my menstrual cycle and that's what's going to help me to cover it so I don't have to get up. Because, see, back in these days, they knew when women had their cycle. They knew when they were going on, because her father could have said, what? No, you had your cycle 2 weeks ago. I remember you being unclean, you know. So it's just one of those things like, yeah, she definitely had to have had her cycle literally during that time for them to know that, them to believe that she truly was cycling and that she wasn't able to get up from the spot that she was sitting and hiding. But nevertheless, ladies, the consequence that she had to bear was that she bore that child that she finally had. She bore a child, but she did not get to enjoy that child's life. She did not get to be with that child. She did not get to grow old with Jacob. She did not get to do anything because of her sins. So we've got to really thank Jesus that he died on the cross for us. We don't got to go through those things, those sacrifices that they had to do in the old times. When we sin and we mess up, no matter how it is, how great it is, how bad it is, whatever size that it may be, because sin is sin, but sin, all sins bear a different weight of a consequence. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross and you were our ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God, crucified on the cross for us. That all we have to do is say, God, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of all of my wrongdoings. And I accept you into my heart as my Lord and personal Savior, so that I can be free from the repetitive cycles in life, and that I can move on to the more that you have with me. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, those are the things that we just got to be so grateful for when we think about who he is in our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God Almighty, for this day, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, for your word. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us even in the very intimate and vulnerable and perhaps even sacred places as we may look at it, that how you created us to be as women and how we are able to look at the very cycle of what we go through in our bodies, and this one being our menstrual cycle, that we're able to relate it to how you are in our lives, and that you are always consistent and you are with us through every cycle of life, and that you are the one that helps us to propel from one cycle to another. And I just thank you, Lord, that you remind us that it is through your blood, it is through your grace, it is through your sacrifice that we, our sins, are forgiven when we confess them unto you. So thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done in our lives and always being so faithful to us. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything. I bless these women today, Lord. I bless them in the name of Jesus. May they rise up and walk tall and speak loudly of the love and the mercy and the grace that you have bestowed upon their lives. May the what comes off of their lips, Lord, be edifying unto you. May it exhort your name in all that they say and do, Lord. May they be a walking testimony, and may they bless all those that are around them. In Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Ladies, God bless you. Remember that this is the day that the Lord has made, so rejoice and be glad in it. Make it a good one. Bye-bye now.